because of that, I did more reading than usual even, and in Galatians chapter 1, where we're picking up, in Galatians chapter 1, we'll overlap a little bit and start at verse 17 and probably finish the chapter today, although we may have to double back on some of the chapter next time. In Galatians chapter 1, when Paul, and man, that we covered verses 15 and 16. I think we've been there, done that, bought the hat. Verse 17, neither went I up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me, but I went into Arabia and returned again to Damascus. So what you've got then is Damascus being above the Sinai Peninsula. And the Sinai Peninsula, Arabia, being separate, considered from Damascus. It is a location to the north and to the east of Arabia. Now we know that Paul's on the road to Damascus in Acts chapter 9. So it's useful to know that. Now, we don't need a great deal of a geography lesson, but he returned again. He went to Arabia and returned again unto Damascus. Then after 3 years, wow, jump ahead, chapter 2, verse 1. 14 years, wow. How long did it take the Apostle Paul at the feet of the resurrected Lord Jesus Christ to run through all of human history and find out that Christ was the one in all of those prophecies, to find out that it was all pointing toward him? Paul had a long time to attend the Dispensational Bible Institute. He had tremendous opportunity for study and instruction. When Paul finds out in Acts chapter 9 that Christ is that prophet, where was that prophet mentioned? Deuteronomy 5.
Yeah.
Ooh. Then, says Paul, I better go back and start over.
Yeah.
And learn all this stuff, because he was the one.
Yes.
Time. Most people who come to understand mid-Pauline dispensationalism think they've got all the answers inside of 3 weeks.
Yes.
No. Just the fact that you have all of a sudden got a whole lot smarter than you were last week doesn't mean you're anywhere near where you need to be.
That's
before
right.
You open your big yak.
Right.
Load up your mind before you shoot off your mouth. That is a real good big nugget. Now, the 3 years here, traveling, it's not mentioned in the Acts of the Apostles. A pretty significant omission, wouldn't you say? It's not there. Paul, as he goes over these logistics, he's telling me in verse 20, he's not lying. The commentators will combine Damascus with Arabia. Mm-hmm. Paul makes it two places.
Yes.
And the commentators, the questioning of the Bible by the commentator seems to be rather state-of-the-art, and the more liberal the commentator, the more questioning ensues. Paul says he doesn't lie, so I'm going to take his word for it.
Amen.
I'm going to place the missing 3 years at Acts chapter 9, verse 23. Now here's how I get there. Acts chapter 9, verse 23 says, after that many days were fulfilled, the Jews took counsel to kill him. I'm going to suggest to you the many days are defined other places in my Bible as 3 years. It happens in 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 1. It happens in 1 Kings chapter 22, chapter 2, verses 38 and 39. In 1 Kings chapter 2, Shimei said unto the king, the saying is good, as my lord hath, the king hath said, so will thy servant do. Shimei dwelt in Jerusalem many days. And at the end of 3 years, he's back in town. Now, the 3 years seems to be something that the Bible would have a comfort level with, since that's how long the Lord Jesus Christ operated in his earthly ministry. So, I don't need to be dogmatic about it. I don't need to be obstreperous about it. I don't need to say my way or the highway. But Paul says 3 years in verse 18. The many days is a term that shows up in Acts chapter 9, verse 23, but it doesn't say 3 years. I don't know where else to put the 3 years. Because after verse 23, Paul does some things that would follow having learned the material. Well, no. Nothing is known of the circumstances, the details of this journey. Paul gets saved in Damascus, which is north and east of Arabia. Why go to Arabia? He's not going to tell us. It's not in the Acts of the Apostles. I don't have any information. What's attracting? Bill and Jenny just went on a vacation. They didn't go to Lower Slavonia to see people living in double wides. They went to see castles and monasteries and cathedrals and places of great interest. Arabia, Sinai, is a very interesting place. Now, it's interesting, I think, that in Exodus chapter 34 and verse 28, Moses is at Sinai 40 days and 40 nights. I think it's interesting that Elijah is near Sinai and it's 40 days and 40 nights. And I think it's interesting that the Lord Jesus Christ is fasting 40 days and 40 nights in the same neck of the woods. I think Moses and Elijah are the two witnesses that show up in Revelation for the prophetic program. Christ has a witness of a different sort, not for the prophetic program, but for the mystery program, and instructs him in that same turf, in that same territory. I can't be dogmatic about one word I said in the last 10 minutes. I can promise you it is not in any of the commentaries that I just carted out for the time. But I spent some time looking at many days, and I spent some time thinking about why there? Why not someplace else? Saul of Tarsus, why didn't he go home? So it's just interesting. Now, I'm just going to surmise that Paul, whether he had opportunity to listen to the Lord in a classroom environment for 3 years is very, very doubtful. But Paul had enough information from Christ to know that everything he knew about the Old Testament needed to be rethought.
That's it. Mm-hmm.
Everything he knew about anything a prophet said needed to be rethought. And he spends 3 years doing something. I don't believe he went to a tent maker's convention. I believe he was studying the Scriptures.
Yeah.
One of the reasons I have a comfort level with that is I've read Paul's 13 books, and they are laced with Old Testament references. Well, he studied under Gamaliel, so he knew the material. He knew the territory. But he knew it all kind of wrong. I mean, he's there killing the followers of the Messiah. That's not being spot on, you know.
No.
That's getting something wrong. I've made the point, and I believe it. If the kings could show up at Bethlehem, so could everybody on planet Earth. Everybody on planet Earth had the same information. We don't know that there were three kings. That's in the song. That's not in your Bible. Three gifts, you assume. But why only those guys? Everybody else had it wrong. Everybody else didn't see it. Everybody else didn't believe it. For whatever reason, those guys believed Micah and went to Bethlehem.
Yes.
Paul then had all the information that John had when John wrote, as many as received him, in power become the sons of God. Paul, he's ready to kill John and everybody else.
Yeah.
I know the value that Paul gives all Scripture in Romans chapter 14, verse 5, when he says whatsoever things were written aforetime are written for our learning. He doesn't say they're written for our doctrine. He doesn't say they're written for our execution. But I learn from them all. I get definitions of concepts from 2nd Habakkuk, right? Which doesn't exist. From 3rd Hezekiah. I study it all, but I know where my doctrine is. That we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. So, I'm looking then, and you've got maps in the back of your Bible, and probably the next to the last map is Paul in his journeys, and the next, it's going to be one of the later maps in your Bible, is going to show the Sinai Peninsula, and to above it and to the right, you will see Damascus. In that Sinai Peninsula, a tremendous amount of Bible history took place.
Yeah.
It's an interesting thing to consider. I've read two writers who made a point that they both admitted they couldn't prove. But I thought, wow, I think they're right. And the point that they made was that where the stones were taken from the river to build an altar, where John got baptized, where Jesus got baptized, it's all going to be in that same place in the River Jordan.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, why ever not? Sinai. You talk about the cradle of the universe. You want to locate the garden in Eden? You want to locate Eden? You want to locate the Fertile Crescent? You want to... It works.
Yeah.
Would that we had more Bible so there wouldn't be conjecture. Mm-hmm. It's pretty much his conjecture. After 3 years, went I up to Jerusalem to see Peter. Now, the word up is significant there because you have to go up the peninsula and then over to Jerusalem. So, he went up to Jerusalem to see Peter and abode with him 15 days. My guess is this. Sabbath, week, he was with them the space of 3 Sabbaths.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's his pattern. And I know that from Acts chapter 17, verse 2, don't I?
Yeah.
Paul, as his manner was, went in unto them in 3 Sabbath days, mm-hmm. 15 calendar days, mm-hmm. reasoned with them. In other words, I'm thinking, it wasn't just, let's have a cup of coffee and chew the fat.
Yeah.
They discuss, argue back and forth, and set it forth open in a ledge and have a debate in front of the group and then do it again and then do it again. Mm-hmm. Again, I'm doing a lot of surmising. Makes sense. You see, this is such a real book. This is real people doing real stuff. Mm-hmm. Was then Peter teaching Paul about the Lord's earthly ministry for 15 days? What do you think? Mm-hmm. I don't think so.
No.
Paul's teaching Peter.
Right.
What Peter knew, Peter was right about.
Right.
Peter knew. Wilt thou at this time restore the kingdom? Was the right question for Peter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Paul comes along and says, it's not my question. I don't need to know. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, you have no need to know the times and the seasons.
Right.
I'm not going to be here for the times and the seasons. So, Peter's got the keys to the kingdom. He's got binding and loosing power. Paul's not sitting there learning from Pete.
No.
Pete's sitting there being confronted. Now, Acts chapter 9, verse 26. When Saul was come into Jerusalem, what have I got in verse 18? After 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem. You see why I put the 3 years right there,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
Between verse 23 and verse 26. I think that's where it goes. Luke, the long-winded, doesn't tell me a word. Nothing in the book of the Acts. Isn't that fascinating?
Mm-hmm.
I sit back in my easy chair and I close my eyes and think, there's 12 years of the Lord's life that the Bible knows nothing about.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
There's 3 years of Paul's life, followed by 14 more years of Paul's life.
Yeah.
The Bible knows nothing about. Then I thought, I wonder if the Lord told Paul about the 12 years. Could Paul be the only person that knew? Well, but it's fascinating. This book presents to you God's inspiration of what we're to know. 3 years of information I don't need to know. Isn't that interesting? 12 years in the life of my Savior, don't need to know anything about it.
That's right.
Because it's just not there. Verses such as Acts chapter 9, verse 26 help us understand why Paul then comes to the Galatians and validates himself.
Yeah.
He hadn't seen him for 3 years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All they heard was rumors.
Mm-hmm.
All they heard was, that guy, he's a murderer, persecutor. Mm-hmm. So, no wonder he had something to say. Now, in Galatians chapter 1, in verse 19, but other the apostles saw I none, save James, the Lord's brother. The Lord has a brother. His name is James.
Mm-hmm.
So much for the perpetual virginity,
yeah,
of Mary as taught by the Roman Catholic Church. Rome says Paul's a liar. Paul says in verse 20, I lie not.
Mm-hmm.
Take your pick, people. Now, in Matthew chapter 13, in verses 55 through 57, you have the list. James, Joseph, Simon, and Judas. I've got me four brothers. I've got unnamed but plural sisters. I've got six siblings. No fewer possible. Got to be at least six. If there's 12 sisters, then it's more.
Mm-hmm.
Sisters is plural, so there's at least the two. I have read a book called The Roman Catholic Book of the Saints. And the patron saint of the home is Joseph. And how he was the father of only one son. Because Mary, of course, was a perpetual virgin and never had another son save the Lord Jesus Christ. And this Roman Catholic book said, we know this is true, except for the testimony of Mark chapter 6. Mark chapter 6, of course, names them to James, Joseph, Judah, and Simon. So, and plural sisters. At least six siblings, half-brothers and half-sisters. In John chapter 7, we see about the brethren. John chapter 7, verse 3. John chapter 7, verse 5, we see about the brethren. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, Paul talks about the Lord's brethren, the brethren of the Lord. And then in Matthew chapter 12, his mother and his brethren stood without. I've given you here the Roman Catholic proof text that Mary was a perpetual virgin. And it is Ezekiel chapter 44, verse 2. Then the Lord said unto me, this gate shall be shut. It shall not be opened, and no man shall enter in by it, because the Lord, the God of Israel, hath entered in by it. Therefore, it shall be shut. Talking about the Eastern Gate.
Yes.
And a building.
Mm-hmm.
Rome makes it Mary.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Oh, well. The significance of Paul talking with the Lord's brother could be that from James, Paul could have learned some things about the Lord's early life as well, that the Bible says nothing about. We are trafficking here in territory where the Bible has nothing to say about 17 years of Paul's life. Now, I can survive some things. I can figure out where the 3 years goes. Pretty much, can't I? From verse 23 to verse 26 about Acts chapter 9. But what all happens and what all takes place, I don't know. Luke didn't tell me. It's not in the Bible. Now, in Acts chapter 9, in verse 29, he spake boldly in the name of the Lord Jesus and disputed against the Grecians, but they went about to slay him, which then the brethren knew that they brought him down to Caesarea and sent him forth to Tarsus. Certainly makes it look correct that the 3 years were prior to that. Now, we know Paul did not confer with flesh and blood for 3 years. Then he spends the three Sabbath days, I'm suggesting, contending with Peter. And then I've got 14 more years in Galatians chapter 2, verse 1. What an interesting thing. The Apostle Paul, who's going to write 13 books of my Bible, has a timeout, has a study time, has time with the Lord, has time with the Scriptures.
Yeah.
We live in a time of instant gratification. We want instant potatoes, instant rice, instant coffee, instant everything.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't work that way. Paul did not confer with flesh and blood for 3 years. Sometimes, I said this to so many of my customers back in the Christian bookstore days, you don't need a commentator.
No.
You don't need a commentary. Read your Bible some.
No.
Read Romans 10 times.
Yes.
And then branch out to Galatians.
Mm-hmm.
Learn the material first. Well, I'm like Matthew Henry. He breaks it down. Yeah, from a Presbyterian, Calvinistic, amillennial point of view, none of those words you understood that I just said. So it kind of breaks your heart where we are today. Mm-hmm. People just don't take the time to study. Young men in the Grace Movement need to take the time to study.
Yes.
By the way, however, once you've got the study in place, then go forth.
Amen.
You can circle the airport just so long, and sooner or later you're going to run out of gas, and nobody's going to want to get on that plane ever again. Galatians chapter 1, verse 23. Paul, verse 21 and 22. Afterwards he came to the regions of Syria and Cilicia and was unknown by face. People didn't know who he was. He'd been gone 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
He shows up. Who are you? Oh, you're him? Oh, no! See the problem he's got? But they had heard only, all they had was hearsay, that he which persecuted us in time past now preacheth the faith which he once destroyed. He's not preaching the faith which he once destroyed according to the prophetic program, however.
No.
He's preaching it according to the revelation of the mystery, and don't miss that simple distinction.
Mm-hmm.
The people of Galatia had heard stories of Saul of Tarsus, and now here's that person face to face. I love verse 24. They glorified God in me. He had a past. They knew that wasn't him any longer. And it glorified God in their listening to the Apostle Paul and accepting him as the new creature that he was. That's an important lesson. Because every person has a past. Every person, when saved, becomes a new creature. If all we focus on is the past, then we're denying the power of the gospel of Christ. We're denying the person the opportunity to walk in the newness of life because we're making him live in his past. See it? Understand the principle? So, all those years down at Lebanon Correctional Institute, I never wanted to hear the stories. I never wanted to hear the past. I wanted to know salvation and what's your future going to be. Now, the people of Galatia had every reason to believe that the Apostle Paul might just be troubled. He'd been the persecutor. He'd been complicit in terrible acts. And he was there at the stoning of Stephen, as you know, in Acts 8 and Acts 7. And so you're aware of all of that. There's people going to run into you and say, well, I remember you back in the day. There's your opportunity to say, well, that back in that day has been nailed to Calvary's cross.
Amen.
I don't live there anymore. I'm a new creature walking in the newness of life.
Yeah.
And you just morph right into the gospel. One of two things will happen, and you win either way.
Yeah.
They hug you, or they turn their back on you.
Right.
You win either way.
That's right.
Okay? You don't have to invest one more ounce of energy in it than that. You're now who God has made you in Christ Jesus, and that's what you're walking according to. They wouldn't live back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
You nailed that to Calvary's cross. You're forgetting those things which are behind. They want to resurrect them. You don't want any part of that. Whatever happens next is their choice.
Yes.
They have to live with it. You don't. I emphasize that because of recidivism. Men leave prison, 40% of them go back. I taught them, and you know, what I'm saying to them is words out of my mouth. I don't know if they accomplished anything in their lives. But I said, most of you should not go home.
Yeah. Right.
Home is where you learn how to do the drugs. Home is where you learn. You don't need that.
No.
No.
For you, the halfway house might be the whole way house.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
You need new friends. You need new associates. Mm-hmm. You don't need to return to the vomit.
Right.
These guys, to their credit, glorified God in Paul.
Mm-hmm.
Now that looks like kind of just a throw off at the end of the passage there, verse 24. That's quite a thing.
Yes.
Look at the new creature Paul is. He's not Saul of Tarsus. That's glorifying God.
Yes, right.
As opposed to, Did you hear what he did back in the living in the past and the gossip and the slander and the cheat? Huh?
Yeah.
You see it? You get it? You see how? Now back up another step. Your evaluation of other people in interpersonal relationships should be steered, at least to some degree, by this very issue and how gracious or ungracious people are.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
They love somebody's tacky history.
Mm-hmm.
They'll love your tacky history, too.
Mm-hmm.
And if they get any goods on you, honey, they'll be on the internet so fast they'll be head swinging.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
You understand what I'm saying to you?
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people say grace and are some of the least gracious people you'll ever meet in your life.
Yep.
So, Paul, who had been a chief persecutor, it glorifies God that he's not anymore.
Yes.
So why go there? Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching for those things which are before we press on.
Mm-hmm.
I say at the end of the notes, it's easy to forgive and welcome a man who was never a problem.
Mm-hmm.
That's not grace. Grace includes receiving even the chief of sinners, and that's who Paul was.
Yes. Amen.
So we'll stop there. We've actually, in 9 lessons, traversed 24 verses.
Pretty fast.
That's just like an energizer bunny rabbit.